Hi, this is Morty Lefko with another podcast interview of somebody who has some ideas that might be useful to you on how to deal with your emotional eating. We've had authors and people who run clinics, and today we have somebody who's totally different. We have a hypnotherapist, who's done some work in a lot of different areas, including the area of emotional eating, who might have some really good ideas for you on how hypnosis might be a potential solution for dealing with your problems. So, Estelle, is that how you pronounce it?
Estelle.
Okay, it's Estelle Boyd. He's a graduate of the Ohio Academy of Holistic Health and has been certified as a clinical hypnotherapist in 1998. And has had a private practice in the Oxford, Ohio area since 1997. So, Estelle, would you thank you for coming and welcome to our show today.
It's a pleasure to be here, Morty.
Good. Could you give us a little bit of background as to how you got interested in or started working in the area of emotional eating?
Well, being a full-service hypnotherapist, eating is, and weight management is usually the way it's put to me, is always an issue that clients come to me for. As far as emotional eating, one of the first things that I explain to people is that it makes a lot of sense that eating and emotions are closely tied together, and it goes way back, usually, when we're infants, for instance. We only have one way of communication. Once we cry, we get support, we get nurturing, we get physical contact, and at the same time, we get food. It makes sense that we would associate the two with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So then in later life, at any time that you're feeling down or depressed or uncertain of yourself, maybe not feeling as good about yourself as you might, it makes sense that one would find solace in food.
Mm-hmm.
So in a lot of cases, that emotional issue goes way back and is deeply seated by the time it becomes a problem for an adult.
Very interesting. I have one question based on what you said so far. You said you called it weight management. I like to make a distinction between emotional eating and weight, and that I'm actually able to tell people I can help you. I can almost guarantee to help you with your emotional eating. I have no idea what's going to happen to your weight, because weight is not only a question of how much you eat, but the type of food you eat and exercise. So if you are eating when you're not hungry for emotional reasons, because you're upset, because you're anxious, you're bored, you feel unlovable, etc., I can figure out a way to help you stop doing that. But if all you eat are high carbs and you eat 5,000 calories a day and never get up from your desk, you're going to gain weight even if you don't have an emotional eating problem. So I try to make a distinction between the two, and it sounds as if you're not making that distinction. Or are you?
Well, there's a fair amount of guilt involved. People who eat emotionally never feel good about it. We're such a visually oriented society these days that the compelling issue that usually brings people to me is the way they look, their health, and things like that. The first thing that I usually do my best to dispel is the whole idea of diet.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just doesn't work. We're hardwired, the unconscious mind is hardwired to protect us, to preserve us. And if we threaten that unconscious mind with privation, withholding food, it rebels.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one can consciously overcome that for a while. One can go on that diet and lose weight, but eventually it comes back. The approach that I put forth is, rather than denying oneself food, would be to treat oneself to the proper kinds of food in the proper amounts.
Mm-hmm.
So one's treating oneself instead of denying oneself. And that seems to be a very crucial issue in the success of my clients.
Okay. But do you actually identify something that I call emotional eating, which is people who say when I have certain negative feelings, I'm anxious, I'm angry, I'm sad, I'm depressed, etc., I just find myself going to get food. And I would have to use tremendous willpower to stop myself from eating. Or if I am eating, I keep eating and eating even when I'm full. So I actually distinguish between a particular behavior that is eating when you're not hungry because you're triggered by an emotion.
Well, my intention is to rechannel that. If my client is feeling down, depressed, the situation where they would ordinarily go for food, well, I'm going to rechannel that to a more healthy choice. We all have choices. And as a hypnotherapist, people feel that they have limited options. My job is to convince them that they always have options. So if they're in a place where they would have formerly gone for food, hey, how about a walk instead?
Mm-hmm.
How about deep breathing?
Mm-hmm.
How about things that are apt to uplift the body rather than drag it down?
Okay. So you actually acknowledge that there is emotional triggers to eat, and what you do through hypnotherapy is get them to stop eating in response to the trigger and do something healthy in response to the trigger.
Right, but I'm always going to put that in a positive way.
Got it.
I'm always going to phrase a suggestion positively rather than negatively.
So how would you do that? What would that sound like?
I'll talk about the good things they could do rather than the bad things they don't want to do. The unconscious mind doesn't process negatives very well.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to say, you know, Morty, this is very important. Your life depends on this. Whatever you do, don't think about a blue tree.
Mm-hmm.
To understand what it is I ask you not to do, you have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm never going to... for instance, you will never smoke again is not a very useful suggestion for a smoker. You can now become a non-smoker is a much better suggestion.
Got it.
So I'm always going to phrase things in a positive way. So the suggestion would go like, in those times when you feel a little depressed or a little anxious, you can do this. You can do this. I'm not going to talk about what they don't want to do.
Got it. Okay. And what is your experience? I always ask people who call with different techniques. What is your experience on the success rate of people no longer eating when they feel negative feelings and starting to go for a walk or whatever suggestions you make? To what extent do you, what percentage of the people would you say are amenable to hypnotherapy as a solution to an eating problem?
Well, I think everybody is amenable to hypnotherapy. I have yet to find anyone who couldn't do it.
Oh, boy,
there are
okay.
Misconceptions, because people think of hypnosis as something that a hypnotist does to you. Well, that's not what it is. Hypnotic trance is something that a person does. I just show them how.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about one person's control over another. It's about self-control, taking charge of your own issues.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that I have dealt with, I would say at least 75% of them have positive results.
Oh boy, great.
And it's hard to, as much as people move around, it's hard to keep track of your former clients.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my gut reaction. I think probably 75% of them have some positive results.
Excellent. Congratulations. That's exciting.
And it's not only, it tends to generalize in a person's life, too. Once they have the techniques to deal with this issue, everything else seems to get better.
Mm-hmm.
As far as eating and exercise, for instance, once a person begins eating better and starts eating the proper diet in the proper amounts, their energy level rises. So it's much easier for them to exercise, and they tend to want to. You know, we have an automatic system for weight management. It's hardwired into us. It's called the appetite.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem comes because most Americans' appetites are buried under about a meal and a half. But your body will tell you when it's proper to, when it's proper to eat, and it's always.
Well, what do you mean you're buried under a meal and a half?
Well, most people don't wait until they get hungry. They eat at a regular time of day when their job or their regular schedule tells them it's time to eat.
Okay.
If they waited until they got hungry, their appetite would tell them when they're hungry. But since they never let themselves get to that point, their appetite never gets engaged. They never notice it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I stress with my weight management clients is it's always proper to eat when you're hungry. And it's always proper to stop eating when you're not hungry anymore. The appetite works exceptionally well if one pays attention to it. And the idea is not to kill the appetite. The idea is to become friends with the appetite.
Mm-hmm.
And as you go on and become better friends and get to know each other better, your appetite will not only tell you when you're hungry, it will tell you what your body needs to eat at that time.
Yeah, that I agree with totally. My experience in working with clients is that sometimes having to eat before you go to work at 7 o'clock or having to eat at noontime is a problem. But for me, that's not as big a problem as being triggered by negative feelings. So it's not that people eat so much when they're not hungry because it's time to eat. It's that people eat when they're not hungry because they're driven to eat in order to cover up some negative feeling. And people have negative feelings all the time, all times of day and night and in between, etc. So that what drives people to the cupboard or to the refrigerator, the pantry, on a regular basis is feeling lonely or feeling bored or feeling depressed or feeling unloved. So that's the way they handle it. So it's the way they handle. And I agree with you is that for me, we don't even talk about weight. We just talk about, can you stop eating, getting you to stop eating, except when you're hungry and stop when you're full. And if you do that and you eat, you know, relatively healthy foods and get some modicum of exercise, you'll be fine. But that for me is the problem of eating when you're not hungry because there's an emotional need.
Well, we're pretty much on the same page with that. Now, I probably am going to play up the healthy eating and the treating yourself to proper nutrition, and I'm probably going to play down the negative emotions that you might be feeling that trigger it. But other than that, I mean, our outcome is the same.
Mm-hmm. And how do you work with people? Do they just call you for a session, or how many sessions does it normally take to get somebody to stop eating emotionally and start eating only when they're hungry?
Well, for most issues, I've never been into this for long-term therapy. I will ordinarily see a client for weight management probably three times, with the initial session being pretty long because I need to learn quite a bit about how they approach the world and what talents they already have for dealing with things.
Mm-hmm.
And then usually a couple weeks later we'll do a reinforcement, and then probably 3 months later. So usually with weight management clients, probably three sessions over the period of about 3.5-4 months.
Oh, okay.
With most issues, I believe that change happens in an instant.
Mm-hmm.
And smoking, for instance, I ordinarily see a client twice. Preparation for surgery once. Now, the only thing that is sort of ongoing would be hypnotic preparation for natural childbirth, because I won't be in the delivery room there, so it's necessary for me to teach the client self-hypnosis and to train their coach or partner in helping them deepen their trance. So I'll probably see them a half a dozen times starting their third trimester up until the birth date. But hypnotherapy can work. It's not magic. It can seem like that sometimes because of the power of the unconscious mind. But ordinarily, it's pretty short-lived in the therapeutic setting.
That's amazing to be able to produce that kind of result in such a short period of time. And you find that hypnosis, I mean, I've heard that some people are good hypnotic subjects and some people are not. Is that accurate, or is everybody a good hypnotic subject?
Everybody's different. I mean, you can't, the way they come up with those statistics is they'll sit 100 college students in a room and deliver a general hypnotic induction to the whole group, something like systematic relaxation, which works on about 80% of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they come up with their statistics. But I have yet to find anybody that couldn't do it. It's just a matter of how a person would prefer to do it. Everybody can do it. It's just people do it in different ways. I've had clients that giggled their way into trance. Everybody does it differently, but everybody can do it. It's not something that's strange or weird. It's something that we all do all the time.
Mm-hmm.
People go into trances, in and out of trances, at different times every day. So it's not something mystical. It's a function of the unconscious mind that happens all the time.
So basically, you'd contend then if you're working with an individual and you can work with them the way their mind works, you can get anybody into a trance that would enable them to resolve an overeating problem.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, that's exciting. Well, congratulations on that.
It is indeed. I love what I do.
I mean, most of the people that I've read about and have talked to, you know, basically say, you know, it's an X number of week program or an X number of month program. In our case, I would say maybe it's 5 to 7 or 8 1-hour session program. But to be able to do that in 1 or 2 sessions with a supplemental one an hour, you know, a couple months later is amazing. So congratulations.
Well, you're releasing belief system.
Well, we're doing two things: releasing beliefs, but also deconditioning triggers. So
right.
Basically, we would say that there's a conditioned response. So you know, just like you know, if there's a gunshot going on, there's a response. You know, PTSD. You can have an automatic response of, you know, dropping to the ground or something like that. If every time you have negative feelings, you eat, not because, not deliberately or consciously to do anything about it, you just happen to be eating because you eat 3 times a day, and notice that there's a kind of a pleasurable distraction. Instead of feeling some negative feeling, you're feeling good because you're eating some tasty food. Number one, it's pleasurable, and number two, it's a distraction. While you're eating, you're not thinking about your boredom or your unlovability or anxiety. So what people get is there's a positive reinforcement to eating. And if you do that 5 times, 10 times, 20 times, at some point, it gets literally conditioned so that when you have any of these negative feelings, you're not conscious of it, you just unconsciously feel the desire to eat. So what we do is we have a process that deconditions it. It only takes about 10 minutes, but it actually deconditions each one of those, because each one is conditioned separately. Boredom is conditioned separately from feeling unlovable, which is conditioned separately from general anxiety, which is conditioned separately from anger, etc. So we have found about 20 different conditionings, 20 different triggers. So the first thing you do is to decondition each of the triggers, and then you say, do you have any beliefs? And in many households, based upon parents who are always on a diet, or say you have to clean your plate whether you're hungry or not, or in a big family where there wasn't enough food, if you didn't get it right away and you waited till the end, there wouldn't be any food left. So there's a whole bunch of situations, things your parents might have said or done around food that would have you have several beliefs around food too. And
right.
What we've concluded is that if you decondition all the triggers and then eliminate all the beliefs, that the emotional eating just stops. I mean, there's no situation where, oh, I feel like eating now. You just eat when you're hungry, and that's pretty much it. But that takes, as I say, depending on the person, anywhere from 4 to 6 or 7 sessions, 1-hour sessions, and yours is even faster. I thought ours was the fastest I knew about, but yours is even faster. So I think everybody ought to... all of our listeners ought to know about this. So could you say where people could get in touch with you? Do you have a website?
I have one that's under construction that's not really ready to go yet.
Is there a phone number? If any of the people listening on my list are interested in contacting you, what would be the best way to contact you?
My phone number is area code 513-200-5720.
Yeah, so that's 513-200-5720, and it's Estelle Boyd.
E-S-T-I-L.
Boyd. E-S-T-I-L Boyd, yes. And you're in Ohio, right?
I see clients in the Oxford, Ohio area, yes.
Are people able to work with you on the telephone?
I've never done that, and I don't think that would work very well because I need to see responses. One definition of hypnosis is eliciting unconscious responses, so I need to be able to see that.
But, you can see that on Skype, which you didn't have set up today, but it costs nothing at all. I mean, if you have a computer, you can buy a webcam for $10 and download Skype for free and make as many calls. So basically, we, in our work now, we work with people in 60 different countries around the world and use the telephone. Our work is amenable to telephone work, but it's nice to be able to see people. So almost all the time now, people are calling in from all over the world on Skype. So you're sort of limited. I mean, we have people from 60 countries on our mailing list and from all over the United States. So the possibility of anybody happening to be near Oxford, Ohio is pretty slim. I mean, maybe there's somebody there, but there's probably lots of people from all over the world who might be interested in pursuing this. So you might want to consider getting a webcam. As I say, it's only about $10, $15 for a workable webcam, and they're very easy to set up. And if that would enable you to work with people outside of your area, that would open up the entire world for you.
Yeah, it's certainly worth considering. You know, I keep up with all the new things in hypnotherapy, but I got to admit, I'm sort of a technology dinosaur. But there are young people around me I can always lift.
Oh, there are. As I say, I've given you, your people have your phone number, 513-200-5720. So if any of you who are reading a transcript of this interview or listening to the interview want to call, you know, please call, and maybe you'll convince Estelle to hire some local high school or college kid and set this up for him. Because as I say, it costs nothing. It does require no technical skills at all. You just click on the Skype button, and then you click on the name of the person you're trying to call. And if you've got the webcam attached, they will see you and you will see them.
Okay. Well, I'll look into it, Morty. And thank you very much for your time.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the feedback. It's great. I'm always interested in learning myself about more approaches to helping people. It's such a widespread problem, and it seems to be growing in extent on a regular basis in the U.S. and around the world. So there's literally tens of millions of people with emotional eating problems that the eating problem is the beginning, the weight is the end, and is the result of the emotional eating, and the weight then is creating significant health problems. So it's wonderful that there are more and more approaches to dealing with it, and I thank you so much for your time. And as soon as we get this thing up, I'll let you know about it, but we should be able to get this out to everybody sometime early next week.
Great. Thank you very much, Morty. Have a great rest of your day.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.